Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, yeah, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Have you saying Yana Strong? All is here on your daily program, National Talk Black. You can text your brother as well, 045-714-0550. Our Facebook page, all, BBM 987 FM. And I'd like to give a big shout out to our First Nation radio stations across the deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional and trusted beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? I want to give a big shout out to Mark Harborough, Harborough Mentoring, and the we had the Indigenous Business and Arts Expo happening here in Cairns. And look, had an array of different mob in business and great to see. And look, a big shout out to everybody who was involved. A great network. I think that's about the fourth year running, and look, getting bigger and better every year. And to all our First Nation business owners across the Big Island, more power to you, all industries. When we're talking about Indigenous businesses, we're not only talking about in the cultural sense, you know, working with our artifacts or our song lines or what have you, you know. We're talking about bricklayers, mechanics, air condition, whatever the case may be. People are in business, and it's great to see and open up the platform for engagement with non-Indigenous businesses and government. We're talking procurement and talking employment of black people with black companies. So, look, there it is. Fantastic. 21st century, live and kicking well. Maybe you're on a yarn about them, that. Maybe you're on a yarn about that. Maybe you just started a business and you're a First Nation. Yes, love to hear from you. Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
This story's right, this story's true. I would not tell lies to you, like the promises they did not keep, and how they fenced us in like sheep. Said to us, come take our hand, set us up on mission land, taught us to read, to write and pray. Then they took the children away, took the children away, the children away. Snatched from their mother's breast, said this is for the best, took them away. Welcome and the police came, said you've got to understand, we'll give to them what you can't give, teach them how to really live, teach them how to live, they said, humiliated them instead, taught them that and taught them this, and others taught them prejudice. You took the children away, the children away, breaking their mother's heart, caring us all about, took them away. One dark day on Framlingham, came and didn't give a damn. My mother cried, go get their dad. He came running, frightened man. Mother's tears were falling down. Dad shaped up and stood his ground. He said, you touch my kids and you fight me. Then they took us from a family, took us away. They took us away. Snatched from our mother's breast, said this chances for the best took us away. Set us up again and gave us gifts to ease the pain. Sent us off to foster homes. As we grew up, we felt alone, 'cause we were acting white yet feeling black. One sweet day, all the children came back. The children came back. The children came back where their hearts grow strong, back where they all belong. The children came back, said the children came back. The children came back where they understand, back to their mother's land. The children came back to
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning circle, BBM 98.7.
Welcome to Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your saying yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. And call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Yarn up strong, you mob. Now, launch today, new report reveals Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women face higher risk from Australia's fastest growing women's cancer. Uterine cancers are now Australia's fastest growing women's cancer, with incidence doubling over the past 25 years and projected to continue to surge. Without immediate action, more than 44,000 women are expected to be diagnosed by 2035, and 8,900 will lose their lives. The burden is greater for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women who face growing inequality in outcomes. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn with Associate Professor Yolande Antill, ANZ GOC Director and Deputy Chair Research Advisory Committee and Medical Oncologist. We're going to catch up and have a yarn now with Professor Yolande on the line. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm good, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Where are you based, Professor?
I'm based in the lands of the Wurundjeri people in
Melbourne. In Melbourne. Big shout out to the mob there. Thank you for coming to the program. Look, these numbers are very, very high. We have to bring these numbers down. What can we do in regarding bring the numbers down, please, Professor?
Yes, yeah, so Trevor, it's a really big report that's been released, and we know that while the actual numbers are small right now, the rates of the numbers of women who are being diagnosed is increasing, and increasing particularly in our young women, so women under 50. And we know what the risk factors are. So we know some of them are reproductive, some of them are genetic. So some women will be born with family risk, and others will have lifestyle factors that can contribute to uterine cancer risk. And I think it's the lifestyle factor thing is where we can really aim at prevention.
All right. And let's talk about some of the things that we can do in regarding that space, in regarding control of what we can do.
So we know that some of the risk factors, or the biggest risk factor, I think, lifestyle-wise, is that women who are living with overweight or living with obesity are the highest risk for uterine cancers.
Okay.
And that's at all ages, but particularly in our young women. So living well and trying to aim or keeping at normal weight is one of the easiest or biggest things that we could do to lower endometrial cancer's risk. We know that there are other conditions like type 2 diabetes or polycystic ovary syndrome that can be additive. So if you're living with obesity and you've got one of those two other conditions, then your risk is higher. So I think it's also about knowing what the symptoms are for uterine cancers, and if you have those symptoms, and particularly if you've got additional risks for uterine cancers, then you should be talking to your health practitioner, whether that's your GP or your nurse clinic, and talking to them sooner rather than leaving it and thinking it's normal.
Yeah. And talking about control, you mentioned obesity and overweight. My beautiful grandfather used to always say, too much couch, not enough ouch. So we're in control of what we can do, you know what I mean? And we need to act on it. And like I said, it takes 30 days to create a habit. When beginning's half done, we need to work to it and make it a part of our system and a part of our genes in regarding exercises and weight watching and eating properly and all that sort of stuff. There's also a statement here, Professor, hidden populations face greater risk and fewer chances of surviving. Explain that, please.
Yeah, so the hidden is the fact that no one really knows this is even a thing. So, you know, we start our HPV or cervix screening when we're young adults, and we have HPV vaccination when we're adolescents. So we kind of know about cervix cancer. And the advocacy groups and community groups have made ovarian cancer awareness a thing, so people know about ovarian cancer.
Yes.
But there was one Australian study, Trevor, that when we interviewed women, 95% of them had never even heard of this being a thing.
Okay.
So I think it's hidden because we don't even know that uterine cancers are a possibility and a thing.
So we've got to keep the conversation rolling. We've got to keep talking about it. And here we are talking about it here on national radio.
Yep, and I think this is the start. This is what we want this report to do, is to open up some conversations.
Good.
To open up an awareness of how we can raise an understanding of this being a problem in our community for our women, and particularly for our younger women.
Fantastic. Now, with the information that's been brought to the surface, so to speak, what do we do with this information now, Professor?
Yeah, well, it's not going to be one person person's task.
Nope.
This is going to be about consultation. So we know that women of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander ethnicity have an increased risk compared to those women who aren't from First Nations origins. And so we also know that women who live in regional and remote areas have increased risks, but also increased risks of dying from this type of cancers. So how can we work with local communities? How can we work with First Nations healthcare workers to open up the conversations, to increase awareness, and maybe even we're going to end up wanting to do some targeted screening? So if you've got women that are of particular risk, then should we be even starting to screen those women? We don't have that screening test yet, but we've got to start somewhere. This is about us partnering with government, with community, with current health systems about where are the barriers to our women coming to get diagnosed, mm-hmm. where are the barriers to our women being able to get top-rate care.
So we're talking about conversations, regular conversations, anywhere and everywhere, social media, all the above. And we're talking about it here now on national radio. So that's the beginning. That's the start. The beginning's half done.
It is a start. Mm. And I guess, Trevor, it'd be worthwhile maybe even mentioning some of the symptoms that women should look out for.
Okay, yes.
So if you've finished having your regular periods, if you are postmenopausal, then any bleeding like a period is abnormal. And you should be seeing your GP.
Straight up. Yeah.
But it can also be like a watery discharge, or it could be that you've got this persistent pain, particularly in the sort of pelvic area below your belly button.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that all of a sudden you're getting these urinary symptoms like frequency, you've never had it before, or urinary tract infections and you've never had that before. Again, could this be something going wrong with the womb, with the uterus? In younger women mm-hmm. who are still having regular periods, then it's have things changed? Have things got really heavy?
Yeah.
Are they more frequent, or have they disappeared altogether? Is there a change? And then those other things like pain. So it's always awkward, Trevor, about, you know, gynae stuff, but we've got to get over the awkwardness.
Well, exactly.
We've
and Professor, and I was just
put
thinking.
Put it on the table.
Exactly. No one knows your body better than you. So if there's
exactly.
changes going on, yeah, need to talk. Yeah, your GP. Have the conversation. Let's get the conversation
started.
You've got
to take a big breath
yep.
and just get it out.
Lovely. Professor, thank you for sharing. Look, fantastic. We'll be doing more yarns. I guarantee that. So thank you. All the best to your team. Keep smiling. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Trevor.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. That's our Associate Professor Yolin Antle from ANZ GOG, ANZ GOG, and that's the opportunity of talking about urine cancer, Australian, New Zealand gynecology, oncology group. That's who they are, ANZ GOG, and a very important conversation, but the numbers are high. We need to bring those numbers down. And as you mentioned, Professor, hidden populations face greater risk and fewer chances of surviving. So the fact that some people weren't even aware, especially with their women, aren't aware of this situation. So we need to keep the conversation rolling. Have your checkup. That's what it's all about. Stay strong, you mob. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My way, my way, my way. to get rough.
That's Mary G there singing about us mob, men, men, men. We're deadly, Mary G. Don't worry about that. This is your deadly program, National Talk Black. Yana with the bully one here, Trevor Tim Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country at the BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Disability Service. Have you seen Yana up strong? Here it is. Hop to it. Create a frog friendly backyard this Frog ID Week. Sydney, Friday 7 November, Australians will be heading into the backyards, paddocks and parks to listen to the cacophony of croaks, chirps and sometimes barks of precious frogs as part of Australian Museum annual Frog ID Week. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Grace Gillard, Frog ID First Nation scientist on the line. Grace, good morning. How are you?
Hi there, I'm doing well, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm well, thank you, Grace. Where are you based?
I am based on Gamilaroi Country near Tamworth.
Okay, beautiful, thank you. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Grace.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Grace Gillard. I am from the Anawan Nation, but I have very close ties with Gamilaroi Country.
Okay.
And I am the technical officer for Frog ID at the Australian Museum.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you. Big shout out to Mob. Now, when you're talking frog, here in far north Queensland, black people, especially men, do not like frogs, especially green frogs. So a conversation, talking with back of your hair and the back of your neck standing up. So hop to it. Let's talk about it. I mean, they're beautiful creatures and regarding and very important creatures. Give us some information, please, about frog and Frog ID and First Nation scientists and work that we're doing to look after our beautiful little creatures.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're absolutely right. Frogs are super important in the environment. Mm-hmm. They're really important bioindicators. So because they basically, most of them live at different stages in life, on land and in water, mm-hmm. they're really that connecting feature between the terrestrial environment and the aquatic environment. So they can really tell us a lot about how healthy the environment is.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is frogs are one of the most threatened vertebrate groups globally.
Mm-hmm.
About 20% of our precious little froggies are threatened with extinction.
Okay. What do frogs actually do for the environment? Can you explain that, how important they are?
Yes, for sure. So they're really important in a lot of different stages. So you've got the tadpoles, they're a really important food source for a lot of different animals. Then the adults are important predators of insects. And they just really let us know what's happening in the environment. If you've got a lot of frogs around, if you've got a really healthy, diverse ecosystem, then you know that you're doing something right. You know that your area is good and your habitat's good.
Okay, and what are the frogs dying from?
Well, they're really threatened by a lot of things. And it's like I was saying, because they're in both aquatic and terrestrial environments, they can pick up a lot of diseases, agricultural runoff in both areas. But so we're seeing a lot of decline from things like the spread of invasive species, like the introduced cane toad, which you'll get a lot of up in far north Queensland.
Yes. And are they predators to frogs, cane toads?
They're not usually predators. Like, they don't normally predate on our native frogs, but they do outcompete them. So they'll push them out of their natural environment. They're bigger, they're stronger.
Mm.
They've just got that real hardiness that you see in all those invasive toads.
Sure. And
but then also, yeah, climate change.
Okay, climate change.
Floods,
yep.
Fires. There's so much threatening our frogs.
Okay, and when we're talking frogs, we know up here in Farnborough, Queensland, green frogs, like tree frogs. Mm-hmm. But there's all different colours and all different species as such. They're all very important, and are they all one family?
Well, they're all frogs. So that's a bit higher up than the family level. There are actually a lot of different families and a lot of different genera. So we have 259 native species of frogs in Australia. And up in far north Queensland, you'll have an absolute ton.
Yes.
But absolutely the best ones you're going to find, the biggest, the most obvious, are your big white-lipped tree frogs and the green tree frogs. You know, they're very, very showy, very, very common.
Exactly. Sitting on your toilet seat when you go in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. With the frogs, you're talking about hop to it, create a frog-friendly backyard. So you're talking about people to go and find frogs in the wilderness, bring them to their backyard and sort of nurture them? Is that what the campaign's all about?
So not so much getting people to go and take frogs from the environment. And so this kind of idea is really focused on people living in cities or where there's, you know, a lot of habitat destruction, habitat modification.
Mm.
So it's more about like building a really nice pond, putting some natural rocks and plants around so that the frogs will have some shelter.
Yes.
Because the frogs, if you build them a pond, they're going to find that, they're going to go there, and they'll populate it before you know it.
Yeah, gotcha.
So what we're really wanting to see is how people are, you know, how people are caring for frogs, how people are getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we're mostly asking people to use the Frog ID app, especially during Frog ID Week, which is right now, to listen out for frogs, whether they're in your backyard, on your toilet, or
that's right.
Just out and about in the wild.
Yeah.
Record them with the app, and we can actually really understand a lot about how our native frogs are doing.
Okay, fantastic. So hence the statement here, join the world's biggest frog count, Friday 7 to Sunday 16 November. So as we come across a frog, I get a photo, and where do we send it? How do we communicate? Is it with Australian Museum, is it?
Normally, we don't do photos per se. So the cool thing about frogs is that they all make this really unique advertisement call.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the males are calling out to attract females. And we actually use that to identify the frogs. It's usually better than photos, actually, because frogs are, except for the big green ones, they're usually pretty hard to see.
Yeah.
And it can be hard to kind of go out and find them without wrecking their habitat. So if you hear a frog calling, you just download the free Frog ID app. It's available on your smartphone, wherever you get your apps from.
Yep.
And then open the in-app recorder, record the frog call for 20 to 60 seconds, send it in, and then we'll listen to it and let you know what you've been hearing.
Lovely. Great. Thank you very much. So you're Frog ID First Nation scientist. So you're what we call a frog scientist. Would that be your title as such?
Yeah, absolutely. We like frog scientists. I think the... the official term is herpetologist, but frog.
Okay.
Fun.
Okay, there you go, frog scientist. Well, thank you for the yarn, very irky yarn for a black man up here in far north Queensland, but thank you. Look, you keep smiling, Grace, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks so much. Catch you later.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there, Grace Gillard. Her name is Frog ID First Nation Scientist. Hop to it, create a frog-friendly backyard this Frog ID week. And the week is Friday 7 November to Sunday 16 November. So pick up an app, and that helps in regarding protecting these beautiful species. Up here in far north Queensland, there's frogs everywhere. We know that up here. And a lot of big, deadly, muscly black men, proper scared of frogs. So there it is. So probably not a conversation we're going to be having. If there's a frog in the toilet seat, then we're going in the backyard. You know what I'm saying? Have you seen Yanup Strong? Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, which way are you, mob? We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor. Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416. Yendaba nap ibamada. Yendaba kat yendabamada. Yendaba gadan. Yendaba listen.
Everybody goes to the Mariana. Love is something that we used to share, but I don't suppose that I want to do it. I say,
Spartans in the rise. I'm too late, you got me hot now. So time to put you out.
Yeah, Love is the Way. There it is. This ADO, and this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yana Upstrong. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the ball. You're on here, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji country. At BBM, Bummer Bit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your saying, Yana Upstrong. All right, which way, Yanni? Next segment, proudly sponsored by IGA. Perry's up here in Cairns at Brinsmead in Edmonton. They give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media. Healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Living your life to the fullest, that's what it's all about. So we're going to catch up a yarn with the boys and girls from Edmonton Police in blue, of course, boys and girls in blue, with Senior Sergeant Glenn DeLay. And a very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Also have first year constable, Lara Stork. Very good morning. How are you, Lara?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And they're 3 days on the job.
Yes, that's correct.
There you go, wet behind the ears.
Yep.
Thank you. Going for Sergeant's job. Fantastic. Watch your back there, Sergeant. And also Stephen Grant, First Nation, PLO, Police Liaison Officer. Who your mob were you from, brother?
Hey, Trevor. Good to see you again.
Good to see
Steve
you.
Grant, proud Jitterbell boy from the Cardwell Mission Beach areas. That's where my footprints starts.
Yes, Big Gumboot.
Correct.
Down there in Tully. That's
yep.
right. That's
downtown, sunny Tully.
Wettest town in Australia.
Yep.
So big shout out to your mob. Now, folks, we're talking about personal mobility devices, e-scooters, e-skateboards, all the above. Senior Sergeant Glenn DeLay, they're becoming missiled and fatalities left, right and centre.
Yeah, look,
sad.
Look, it's a timely reminder for your listeners there. Around that Christmas period, we find that they're very popular with parents buying these devices for kids.
Mm.
But at the same time, they can be quite dangerous, and we have had fatal consequences
yes.
as a result of misuse of the devices.
Mm.
Look, I'm not going to get into the what it actually the sizes and dimensions of what is a personal mobility devices, but we all know them as e-scooters, e-skateboards.
Yes. Okay.
And there's a number of rules that you need to abide by. We can't just get on and let rip through the community.
Mm.
Of course, we need to worry about the safety of certainly our children on them. But look, there's plenty of adult fatalities
exactly.
And look, a lot of them relate to not wearing a helmet, of course.
Okay.
And when they do come unstuck, they normally, look, their head hits the concrete or the
thank
bitumen
yep,
and then fatal consequences.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we're talking about the mobility devices. To me, they're a vehicle, are they not?
Yeah, look, and...
So we don't have vehicle rules, they just be over 18, or...?
Yeah, look, so people can ride them, like in Queensland. So if you're 12 to 16 years, you can ride them with adult supervision,
mm.
okay? So we see a lot of children driving around on their own without that supervision.
Yeah, that's right.
16 plus is fine without that adult supervision, but like I said, they need to always wear a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's fines applying. If
so, would the police pull up somebody who don't look like they're over 16 and they're riding it by themselves?
Look, we can, and
yep.
we can question them.
Okay.
We can caution them for any offences that they may
safety?
Be committing.
Yeah.
I think the biggest issue with our children on these devices is they're not really responsible
mm.
As we'd like them to be. And of course, that's when they take those risks and, we have those accidents occurring.
Sure.
Look, 12 kilometres an hour on footpaths.
Mm-hmm.
That's their limit on a shared path or a footpath, and only 25 kilometres on bike paths and roads.
Mm.
Okay, so look, it's quite common to see these devices travelling well above those speed Ooh. Limits.
Is there a speed limit as regarding can police pull somebody over? They're travelling at a high speed.
Absolutely, yep.
They can.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So my thought process is the manufacturers who make them, why are they putting them at that speed then if there's a limit? I mean, you look at most cars travelling at 200 k's, but you only speed limit 100, for example.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it makes you think.
A lot of those manufacturers will be putting profits ahead of safety, of course. Some of these devices may be speed limited, but you can override those devices, and that's where the problems occur.
Okay. Rightio. And Steve, can you talk about some of the rules in regarding what you can and can't do? And speed limit as well.
Yeah, well, obviously there's what Glenn's just indicated, like the rules.
Which is helmets and fasten the straps.
Well, helmets, they're not particularly strapped on properly. I think that's an offence. There's also, the penalty there replies, $160. And like Glenn's just said, we've had two fatals here in Queensland in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
A 9-year-old and I think it was a 14-year-old
yeah.
in our southern corridors. And
there you go, under the age of 16, senior son Glenn DeLoy was talking about.
Yeah, you know, we're 5 weeks out from Christmas and, exactly. like, it's all over the media about, you know, these devices, the government's going to crack down on them.
Yeah, of course, don't drink and drive. It's got here about phone as well. Don't use your phone while riding. I mean, talking about
that's common sense, really. Yeah, look, the phone one is one that people think only applies to the vehicles. But, you know, even on your push bike, we can write that ticket. Ooh. And, you know, $1,250, that's quite an expensive ticket.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But then you're riding a scooter. It's two hands on the scooter because one's a brake, one's a for the accelerator, so to speak.
Yeah.
So if you're on the phone, then they've got
devices that actually can be secured on the front bar of the actual phones. A lot of them, you know, do selfies and take photos and things like that. But like Glenn said, the other thing is also when they go past these speed cameras, they can actually be activated.
Okay, rightio, because it's cruising that fast.
But the thing is, they're not registered.
Oh, there you go.
So you can't...
Yeah, no man's land.
Mm. They're not.
How do you police it if you're not registered?
Well, it's just a matter of police being on the spot at the right time, you know. Well. And look, we do have in Queensland an operation at the moment that's actually targeting these devices, so people can expect if you're riding on one of these personal mobility devices that you may be pulled up, and if you're committing offences, that we'll take appropriate action.
Well, exactly. To those daily listeners just tuned in, Trendy Trev here, Murray from Recaro with your daily program, National Talk Black. Having a yarn with the boys and girls in blue, Edmonton Police, and we're talking about personal mobility devices causing havoc, a lot of accidents, and as Brother Steve just mentioned, PLO, a couple of deaths in Queensland here. So not very good. I'll have a yarn now with...
Just on that point too, Trevor, it's also been indicated that these devices are also being utilised in First Nations community, which has been raised by mayors at our recent summit.
Yes.
So that's a very important topic, that these devices are being used in remote First Nations communities as well. So
exactly.
And it's like I said, it's not only Cairns, it's affecting the whole...
Yeah, the big island, Australia.
That's exactly. correct.
Over to first-year constable, Lara Stork. Lara, 3 days on the job.
Yes.
So tell us about the last 3 days. Are we talking mobility, personal mobility devices? Are we talking about traffic? Are we talking about walking the Esplanade? Tell us about your 3 days.
honestly, majority of it, when there's no jobs on to go to, we're just patrolling.
Sure.
Catching anything that people are doing wrong.
Yeah, just, thank you.
Yeah, being visible in the community.
And the academy, where'd you come from?
I was at the Brisbane Academy.
Brisbane Academy.
Yep.
And how long is that? Does that run for you to become a police officer?
It's an eight-month process.
Okay. Yes. Is that living on site? No?
You can live on site.
Okay.
If you came from overseas or something, they do give you on-site accommodation as well as hotel accommodation because there's not much on site.
Okay.
You do have to live more than 50 kilometres away, though, to be able to access that.
And while you're in the academy, you get paid as a job?
Yep, you get the full-time
training.
Full-time
beautiful. Full-time pay. Thank you very much. And so was that the vision, to become a police officer from get-go?
Yep. Yeah, basically as soon as I could think of what job I wanted to do, police has always been
there. You go.
First thought.
Yes, girls can do anything.
Represent.
As I said, so yeah, that's the vision. 3 days. You posted up here at Edmonton.
Yes.
How long does a post stay for? Like on your first posting.
So you get that 3 year posting to the district, which I got Far North.
Okay.
And then you get your station, which I got Edmonton, and that's just for the first year. So your second and third year can be up in the Cape or just to the city station.
Do you have a choice, or can you select or choose?
You do get the choice of putting down preferences,
yep,
but it also just depends on the circumstances.
Okay. And have you been to Far North here before?
I've visited Port Douglas before, but I've never
That's way north, but never, but never lived up here. There you go. Well, welcome. So after 3 days, you're local now. We claim your sister. So enjoy your time up here.
Thank you.
Fantastic. So this is a very important conversation, Senior Sergeant Glenn DeLoven, talking about personal mobility devices. Yes, they are a tool, they're a vehicle, get us from point A to point B, but we need to be safe with that. And when we talk about death, I said, two young ones just before Christmas. This is not good.
No,
sad Christmas.
Absolutely, and it should be something that everyone should be considering when they're purchasing these divorces for their children with this Christmas period. If you make that decision and you think that that's
appropriate,
lay down some rules and make sure they're being responsible and abiding by those rules. And certainly, if nothing else, wear a helmet.
There is fantastic. Did you say that they can change the speed? Speedo.
Unfortunately.
They can.
Yeah, so they can be tampered with.
Is that right?
Yep.
Well, that's not good to hear. No. So they are fast machines because you would see even an adult just cruise by you while cruising in the car, going at high speeds. You think we're crying out loud. I mean, one little swivel turn without indicating, for example.
Yeah, and look, you're always going to come off second best in any accident on these devices. There's not much around you to protect you.
Yeah, that's right.
So. That's why the message is out there.
All right, fantastic. I think we'll be yarning soon.
You got something to say, brother? Yeah, but just before I go, Trevor, it's off to Brisbane next week for a week. Yeah, to engage with some First Nations activities down there with
good
recruits and
new recruits we've got coming on board.
Well, I'll probably go out to the academy. Big shout out to Beck and Therese and Maria and Karen.
Yep.
And take up with my colleague, Senior Sergeant Renee Bond.
Okay, lovely.
So we're looking forward to that, but I'll catch the girls next week.
Next week, look out, girls, he's coming. Now, when we're talking about new recruits, are we talking PLO or we're talking about police officers?
Well, we're probably looking at both sides.
Both sides, yeah. Thank you.
So that's another impact that's coming.
Do you get the heads up before in regarding the numbers or First Nation people coming to the table?
Well, we've got the package rolling out in Townsville, the 6 weeks program. It's an induction. Then we've got the mainstream, like this officer has just done Lara's done in the last 7 months or eight months.
Beautiful.
With them. It's a long road, but obviously.
And they give you a heads up if they're First Nation recruits.
Yes, we find out if they're First Nations recruits.
Which is why we drag constables like Lara into the studio here, because people need to be thinking, like, she is quite young. You just can't see that over the radio, but look, anyone can have a crack at it. And, you know, we're happy to take anyone on board.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I always say, go a mile, see a mile.
Yep,
we are students for life, are we not?
That is correct.
There you go. Not you, you're a professor. You're really up there. I look up to you, my brother. I want to 50. Be a brown, bullied version of you.
50.
Lara, nice meeting you.
Nice thank to you very much. Too. Thank you.
Senior Sergeant Glenn Delight, good to see you again, my friend. Steve, you owe me lunch. We'll talk soon, cuss. All right, thank you very much. And all
thank
the
you.
Best to our
Bye.
Edmonton crew.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thank you.
All right. Very good yarn, deadly yarn with the boys and girls in blue, yarning up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, just going over the very important conversation, personal mobility devices. We need to be careful, e-scooters, e-skateboards, self-balanced and single-wheel devices, whatever you want to call them, but they can become missiles. And look, sadly, we lost two young ones before Christmas. We shouldn't be losing anybody. They are a transport vehicle, you could say. So use them that way. So it's not a speed track as such. So heads up, your mob. We've got Christmas coming up. So be careful what gifts you give. Make sure there's some ground rules that goes with those gifts. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416.
Where you from, my brother? I come from there, from another side. Me, you call a Kungai, from Yoruba, where my people reside. All us Aboriginal people are divided into 500 different tribes whom the white man tried to conquer when he first come here to divide. You may call it divide and conquer, hey, but no more, you've let a lie. This land belongs to us Abos, and we'll stay right here until we die.
Yeah, beautiful track there. Barry Cedric, big shout out, BC. Thank you very much. All the way, Yarraba. Thank you very much. Good morning, Yarraba. Hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry, about to sign off. Thank you for your company, you mob. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. And a big shout out to First Nation Radio Station across this beautiful country of ours, a Delhi Black Network, and yarning up strong with all our mob out there. So I've got the news coming up very soon with via NERS, National News Radio Service. Stay tuned for that, and a big shout out to the NERS team. And thank you to the BBM team as well, management here, board of directors, and the crew. Thank you very much. And like I said, once again, NERS to Delhi, team effort. Signing off. Thank you. Stay for the news, and we'll yarn soon. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. To Delhi.